name is Julie Alsop. I'm one of the pastors here at Faith. It is good to be with you this morning. Amen. Amen. For those of you who are with us last week for Easter Sunday and decided to come back, we want to extend a special welcome to you. We are so glad that you joined us this morning for worship. This morning, we are going to talk about Peter. Many of us are familiar with Peter in the Bible, and some of the words that come to mind when we think of Peter are denial, right, and how he denied Jesus. We also think of forgiveness and how Jesus forgave him, and then also the second chance that he was given in his life. I want to share a cartoon with you. Many of you familiar with Peanuts, right, Charlie Brown and Linus. So I want to share this this little comic strip with you, this little cartoon. It says that Charlie Brown and Linus are talking together. They're having this conversation. As we know, we've got Linus up here. Linus says, "I don't like to face problems head on. I think the best way to solve problems is to avoid them. In fact, this is a distinct philosophy of mine. No problem is so big or so complicated that I can't run away from it." Many of us can relate with Linus. You see, denial is a funny thing. Denial, it can be a place of comfort, out of sight, out of mind. A place to escape reality, a place that we hide our true feelings. We put these masks on when we're in denial, and we run from our problems. And then on the flip side of that, how it feels to be denied. Some of us have experienced this when the credit card doesn't go through, right? It comes up, you've been denied. Or maybe you're at an event, a sporting event, or possibly a concert, and there's a special access area, and you're denied. You can't go into that space. And then many of us, we've applied for different jobs, and we don't get that job, and we get denied, right? We don't get that position. And then many of us have been to movies where we watch these suspense-filled movies, and maybe some movies will come to mind as I share this. It'll be a climax in the movie, and, you know, somebody's trying to save the day, and they're on this computer, right? And they're typing, trying to figure out what the password. It keeps coming up. Access denied. Access denied. You see, we try to handle things on our own. We try to handle things on our own. And last week, we talked about the God sightings in our life, where we see God on the journey with us. But sometimes we refuse to see. We don't see that God's in our midst. And God gets this big access deny message from us when we deny his presence in our lives. Jesus, he was close with his disciples, but he and Peter, they were tight from what the scriptures tell us. They were tight. And when Jesus was 30, he moved to Capernaum to live there, and it was also the hometown of Peter. So they were neighbors, and they did ministry together, and they did life together. I want you to listen in the book of Matthew and to hear an exchange of words between the disciples and Jesus, and also in particular Peter. And this comes from chapter 16 of Matthew. And just hear these words. "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do you say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' But what about you?' he asked. Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on, or whatever you bound in heaven will be bound on earth, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.'" You see, Jesus trusted and loved his friend Peter so much that he gave him this commissioning to build the church, and he gave him the keys to the kingdom. He said, "Peter, I trust you. Peter, I need you. I love you. You are the man." But Peter, he stumbled and he tripped and he fell hard when he denied Jesus. You see, he wasn't physically hurt, but he was spiritually and emotionally Hear these words out of Luke 22. This is after Jesus was seized. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him to the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing as he had sat in the light, looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Ma'am, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Clearly, certainly, this man was also with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know you, and I do not know what you're talking about." And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, of what Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out, and he wept bitterly. You see, Peter, he was in this spiritual crisis. We have moments when we deny Jesus and we choose our own way. We don't do the things that we're supposed to do. We're tempted by sin, and a lot of times we give in. We do things that we shouldn't do. We say things that we shouldn't say, and we find ourselves in a crisis. And we get ourselves into such a mess, like Peter, we win. But we have hope. And that hope is Jesus. You see, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared 3 times, the first to Mary Magdalene, and the second was to some of his disciples. And this second appearance, Peter was not there. And when he encountered his disciples, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." And then during that time, he had planned this third meeting. And he said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and go to this place in Galilee, and there they will see me." They had planned this rendezvous of sorts. So the disciples, they headed north up to the Sea of Galilee. And I just want to remind you of this time. You know, we live in Easter joy, right? Today's the Sunday after Easter. But there was a lot of confusion at this time. There was sadness. And there was also fear, right, because of the crucifixion of Jesus. But then he had resurrected from the dead, and there was this hope. But again, a lot of confusion of what was going on, and also, again, fear. You see, when we get nervous, we all do different things to help our anxiety. And the disciples, they chose to go fishing, of all things, and to cast their nets. And we remember, they didn't have fishing poles like we do today. So they would go fishing, and they would cast their nets. Jesus had called this group of men to be his disciples and to follow him, but their vocation was fishing. They went back to what they knew. You see, Jesus doesn't call everyone away from their vocation, but he calls us. What is Jesus calling you to? You see, to live in your vocation without a calling is to settle for a life of empty nets. Remember your calling in the midst of your vocation. We're going to pick back up with the boys in the Sea of Galilee, and I want to share some of John 21 with you. Hear these words. Afterward, Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught no fish. Up all night and caught no fish. And early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and then you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because the large number of fish was so great. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say it is the Lord, he wrapped himself in his outer garment, and he jumped into the water. This was the first time that Peter had come face to face with Jesus after the resurrection. He was like Michael Phelps. He had jumped out of that water, and he was swimming. You can laugh. It's okay. He was like Michael Phelps, running, jumping off that boat, and swimming to Jesus to get to him. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged a net ashore. And it was full of fish, 153 to be exact. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dare ask if it was him. None of them ask, "Who are you?" or "What's for breakfast?" or "If I don't like it, if it's undercooked or overcooked." When you've got Jesus cooking for you, just say, "Thank you. They knew it was Jesus. And Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them, and he did it the same with the fish. Now this was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. 153 is an interesting number. Everything is in the Bible for a reason. These numbers are significant. And it is suggested that the number 153 that represents 153 different kinds of fish, representing the gospel to all persons in the kingdom, that the kingdom is strong enough to hold all of us without breaking the net. What a beautiful picture. So I want you to in your minds, we're going to go to the Sea of Galilee, and I want you to imagine yourself, we've got a picture of a boat, out here on the water. We're out here, out in this boat on the water. And you're in this boat, and you're all by yourself. And you're trying to solve the challenges in your life. Maybe the things that you've done wrong, the things that are on your mind, things that are bothering you, some conflict that you may have in your life. And Jesus reminds you that apart from him, that you can do nothing. You see, the life of a fisherman was casting nets. And in your life, you're casting a net off the side of that boat. And some of your nets are coming up empty. You're working endless hours. You feel like you are spinning your wheels. And you have distractions and you have life interruptions. Maybe you've lost a job or a loved one. Life isn't going as planned. And you feel all alone in that boat. But you see, Jesus is on the shore. And he's calling you. Take a minute to listen. He might lead you to the catch of a lifetime. And suddenly, you see life differently. You see, no matter how far you've drifted, Jesus is always on the shore waiting for you to return. He has a comforting fire, warm food on the grill, and a loving arm to put around your shoulder. And as we're there on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus and his disciples, we listen in to the conversation. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to Peter, "Follow me." This site up here on the screen is called the Church of the Primacy of St. Peter, and it's where Jesus and Peter encountered one another. It's where Peter was forgiven It's where he was restored, and he was given the commission to feed Jesus' sheep and to build the church. You'll notice on the bottom of that statue, it says, "Feed my sheep." Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And then Jesus asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" We have a God who loves us so much that he gives us second chances. How has God given you a second chance? Some might say that life is like a book. One bad chapter doesn't mean that your story is over. Denied, accepted, forgiven, given a second chance. In the church, we do something with it. We confess our sins, we repent and turn away, and we live in Jesus. We are reminded from some words from the Apostle Paul that says that we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Might I suggest that we are not saved? We are not saved by good works, but suggest that we have been saved for good works. We are not saved by good works, but saved for good works. Jesus came to restore Peter, and he comes to restore us in the crisis of our spiritual lives, and he offers us that same restoration. You see, Peter, he had a second chance. Many of us here have experienced or are experiencing a second chance of some sort. I want to share a little story with you. I shared this at the first service and I didn't get in trouble, so this is good. I'm going to go ahead and share it a second time. So I was married at the age of 23 and had 3 wonderful children, and was married for 16 years. And at times it was a very unhealthy and toxic relationship. And after 16 years, the marriage ended. And my children's father decided to move across the country, and I raised 3 children by myself for the next many years. And they still are my world, but they were very much my world, and that was my priority in that season of my life. I never thought about dating or anything like that. And some time had passed, and I prayed this bold prayer to God, and I said, "God, if you want to send somebody into my life that you feel would be suitable for me, I would be open to that." Didn't have any laundry list, but can I just tell you, God is good. God is good. And he sent Scott into my life about 8 years ago. And what a blessing he is to me in my life, and I share that with you, that what a blessing of a second chance for me and also for Scott. And on Friday, we celebrated 5 years of marriage. So I just want to share that with you this morning. So many of us here in this room have experienced a second chance. It could be after a medical scare. Maybe some of you are like me on a second marriage. Maybe it's a second job. Or if you're a student, a teacher has allowed you to turn the assignment in one more time. Many of us can think about different second chances that we have been given. You see, Jesus, he forgave Peter, and he gave him a second chance. But it wasn't just, "Oh, Peter, I forgive you, and I want to restore you with this spiritual crisis that you're in." But he gave him this commission to feed his sheep, and it was a calling upon his life. You see, as you walk in forgiveness and the second chances that we have in our lives, the second chance that you have? What's this second chance look like in your life? What is Jesus?